Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to another exciting edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, we're going to be discussing the season opener at Ephrata Raceway Park, as well as talking a little bit of NASCAR, IndyCar, IHRA, NHRA, and whatever else happens to pop up into the conversation. Apologize for some of the technical difficulties this evening. Apparently, Blog Talk Radio is incredibly busy tonight. I don't know what the issue with that is, but you never know. Also, our co-host may or may not be able to call in this evening. She has just started another actual job there in Ephrata, Washington, as opposed to her weekly co-hosting duties on this program. So you never know. Things happen. As she stated, she's not currently in the system at the facility that she works at, so her schedule is pretty much up in the air. As I just stated, this past weekend, the Ephrata Raceway held their first event of the season. It was also the premiere of the Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder Mustang, driven by our very own Michael Mullally. Our first guest this evening is Alicia Hector, who was one of the competitors at the Ephrata Raceway this past weekend. She began going to the races in Ephrata at the age of 15 to watch her boyfriend, then now husband, Patrick Hector, race. Since then, she's been trying to get the money to fix one of her husband's first race cars up until it got sold. After that, her brother-in-law mentioned his friend Chad had a car she could race, and finally, this past weekend, it became reality. We're standing by for Alicia Hector to call in. She should be calling in momentarily. I believe she may have actually been on the line when we were having the dial-in issues a few moments ago. So hopefully she will be on the line shortly. We shall see. It looks like Alicia Hector is now on the line, so we'd like to welcome her to the program.
Hi.
Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm good, how are you?
Not too bad. Enjoying the evening and wishing that computers didn't give me problems on this program every so often, but other than that, I'm doing just fine. I know this past weekend you had your first race of the season at Ephrata Raceway Park. How did the event go?
I thought I did pretty well, but then I saw the videos and it looked like I was going about 20 miles per hour.
What do you think your actual top speed was? Do you know what it was?
I think I got maybe close to 40, but I was also last most of the time. But that car had a loose axle the whole night, so.
Well, that's no good. What are your goals for the 2016 season?
I'm hoping that more V6 supercars will show up. That way I can actually race in my class. And I'm planning to hopefully actually not get lapped and such.
What's your ultimate racing goal?
I hope to build basically a mini stock. So it would be a smaller car, smaller engine, so I could race with my brother-in-law and Michael Mullally.
If you were in charge of, say, NASCAR for the day, what would you do to change the sport?
Honestly, I'd maybe, like, space the racing belts off of the size of the person. That might sound a little strange, but those racing belts covered most of my body in the car, and I couldn't move, which I know you're not supposed to, but I also couldn't reach the steering wheel.
Ah, that's no good. But you don't need to steer. You just sort of hold on and let the car go and see what it wants to do. That makes it more exciting.
Yeah.
What's your most memorable racing moment?
It would probably be the whole night, because I got there and I thought I would have some time to, you know, get in the fire suit and just mess around a little bit. But as soon as I got there, they wanted to start the qualifying, and V6 Super drove up, and I was basically out of the car for maybe like 15 minutes total the whole night.
What's the most intriguing part about being a race car driver?
It's a lot different than racing on the streets, like, even though that's illegal. Racing in an oval is a lot more difficult, and you have to make sure the back of your car doesn't, like, kick out, and on the streets, you know, you just go on the line. So it's probably, like, the technique you have to use is more intriguing.
At one point Saturday, were you the most nervous?
Actually driving the car for the first time.
And do you see yourself ever working your way up to faster cars?
I would hope so. I was actually told that car was supposed to be really fast, but the owner of the car wanted me to run it in second gear the whole night and it ended up catching out in the corners, and I had to move it into drive.
And that would be, must be pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And what's your next event?
It's May 14th at the Ofredo Raceway. It's the Rebel Jackson Memorial. I believe they're having all classes, including sprints and street stocks, mini stocks, and V6s if anyone else but me shows up.
There you go. Well, hopefully you have at least a few competitors in a couple of weeks, and congratulations on your first start, and hopefully you have a good season.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming on the show tonight.
Oh, it's no problem.
Once again, that was Alicia Hector, who drives in the V6 class at Ofredo Raceway Park. You'll be able to see her again on the 14th of the month, 14th of next month, May 14th. So be sure to head out there to Ofredo Raceway Park and support your local racetrack. Now we'd like to take a short break and bring up the one of our favorite songs from the Pit Crew, Crazy About Sprint Cars, Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew.
Yeah. Hi, this is Jason Alder from AB Motorsports, and you're listening to the Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Welcome back to the program. Once again, we'd like to thank Alicia Hector, our guest on the program this evening, for joining us. She races at Ephrata Raceway Park, currently in the V6 class. She's hoping to change classes, either that or have some more of her competitors in the class show up. So she has a full slate of competitors there. It's not very much fun going around the track by yourself or going around the track with another class. Once again, we'll wish her lots of luck on the 14th of next month and head out there to the track and see her race. As Michael's not able to join us this evening, it's kind of going to be a one-sided discussion, but I'd like to bring up some of the issues that have been taking place in NASCAR recently, specifically the Tony Stewart fine and the safety changes that were made after he made the statement they made. For those of you who aren't aware, Tony Stewart last week made a statement stating that he believes that all five of the lug nuts on each tire should be tightened fully before they're allowed to return to the track. Now, that was the previous rule in NASCAR last season and for pretty much all of the sport's history. And for some reason, and no one's quite sure or has explained quite well why they changed it, this year they stopped enforcing that rule. And it just basically encouraged people to get their lug nuts tight. In NASCAR, encouragement doesn't work very well. So some of the teams were trying their best to maybe tighten three, some of them four, some of them went with five. It really depended on the team and on the track. But when you don't encourage people to tighten their lug nuts and they're trying to get every possible edge in getting out on back onto the track, mistakes will happen. Fortunately for NASCAR and for pretty much all the race fans who attend the races, they didn't happen yet. And there wasn't a problem. But there have been problems in the past where tires have come loose off of cars and broken free. Some of them have gone up in the grandstands and stuff like that. It wouldn't be very good to have a tire go up into the grandstand and kill someone. And that's basically what Tony Stewart was saying. Now, Tony Stewart was issued a $35,000 fine for making those comments on his radio interview on Sirius XM satellite radio. Of course, if Tony Stewart ever wants to make any other comments on the radio, we'd invite him to come on to this program, Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I'm pretty sure he's heard of it. If he hasn't, perhaps one of our NASCAR listeners can let him know about the program. It would be awesome to have him on. But moving on, Tony Stewart was fined $35,000 for one of those actions detrimental to NASCAR type things. And the next day, the NASCAR Drivers Council agreed to pay the entire fine, the $35,000. And the day after that, NASCAR changed the rule back to the requiring all five lug nuts to be tightened on the car. Now, it's kind of interesting to us here at Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, especially that NASCAR made that sort of rule change after they'd given him the large fine. Brian France did answer some questions also on another radio program about why they issued the fine. It basically was a question of tone and that sort of thing. They had talked to Tony in the past about that. He's also had his own issues dealing with the media and dealing with NASCAR. But now that he's returned to the racing, this is his last season, as everyone's probably aware. I don't think he has a different perspective, let's put it that way, on how he's treating the media and how he's treating NASCAR. It is sort of a breath of fresh air from Tony Stewart that he's able to bring those issues forward. But NASCAR, I think, wanted to push him back and make sure that he was aware that there is a line there, and he apparently crossed it. I'm pretty sure that Tony Stewart will cross that same line a few more times in the year, especially if he feels it's necessary, it's a safety issue or something of that ilk. As we took last week off, we weren't able to discuss any of the issues that took place at Bristol Motor Speedway. Now, Bristol, as most of you are aware, had a long history of selling out the racetrack, both for the summer and fall events. Now, they obviously do not have that issue anymore. If you looked at Bristol, and the networks made it difficult to look at the overhead views, but if you paid attention when they had the overhead view, the camera from the blimp or whatever, you saw that nearly two-thirds of the speedway was empty. Now, Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder did publish an article about that we sent out from one of our friends in the online journalism world that had quite the viewership here. But it was interesting to see that the Bristol track is not drawing the same sort of attendance. Now, there's all sorts of reasons for that. Some of it is economic, because the economy is definitely not quite as good as it was in the early part of this 21st century. But some of it's also the product they're putting out on the track. Now, NASCAR has made tons of adjustments in the past few years to try and make the sport, I suppose you can say, more entertaining. They've done some different things with the cars and with the rules and that sort of thing. This year they've instituted a whole lot of rule changes that we talked about briefly on this program before, things like the caution period for the truck series and the heat races, which we haven't really gotten into, but I'm hoping to get into next week with our guest next week, and a few other different adjustments to try and improve the entertainment value of the sport. But there's definitely some problems there. If you go to a lot of the tracks on the NASCAR circuit, I won't say all, because the tracks down here in Florida, in South Florida especially, but in Northern Florida, North Central Florida, I suppose, as well. Daytona, which has the huge people who show up for the Daytona 500, as well as for the summer race, but not quite as many for the summer race. And then the Homestead Miami Speedway, which hosts the Ford Championship weekend in November. Those always had a pretty good crowd. But a lot of the races in the middle of the season, and although we still are very, very early on in the season, a lot of the tracks serve in the early to middle part of the season. They don't get quite as many people as they used to. And as I stated, there's a lot of issues involved. But NASCAR has to do something about that. They have to figure it out. And the answer isn't, in my opinion, of course, the answer is not to remove as many grandstands as they have been removing it. A track such as Daytona and in Charlotte, of course. The answer is to make sure that it's a better sport overall. Now, that is a huge order, and they're making some attempts at it. I think that the rule changes I alluded to a few moments ago are some of the attempts they've made at it, but I don't know if they're the answer, and it'll be hard to tell in the future whether they help or not. Some people have said that it's the fact that they don't have the same competitors they had, like, 15 years ago or whatever. There's other people who said that it's the product on the track. There's all sorts of different things. There always is. But the racing personalities have changed and all that. But it's a changing sport, a changing era. They've lost fans, older fans especially, but they're not getting many younger fans either, especially if you go out to the track and you look. There's not a very good mix of people. As I stated on this program before, after I had the pleasure of attending the Gator Nationals in Gainesville, the NHRA Gator Nationals, the National Hot Rod Association has a much better mix of fans than any other racing series I've been to in the past few years. And whatever the NHRA is doing right, and they're doing a lot right, they've also got some issues of their own, which we'll get into momentarily. But NASCAR could definitely learn something from them. We'd also like to congratulate Carl Edwards on his two-race winning streak he has going on now. The end of last week's race was entertaining, to say the least. The fact that he basically pushed his teammate, Kyle Busch, out of the way to win the race there in Richmond. And that was pretty cool, pretty interesting racing. It's not the sort of thing that I think Kyle Busch is happy with, but I'm sure that Joe Gibbs is happy with it in his own way. And I know that Carl Edwards was really happy about it. It's always neat to see Carl Edwards do the backflip things, but Kyle Busch definitely was unhappy. Apparently there were some issues at the post-race press conference that he had. Also, Kyle Busch's brother, Kurt, who finished in 10th place, didn't answer any questions whatsoever for the press. And although I think Kurt Busch is an amazing guy, he's a great driver, he has a past champion and all that, he has to talk to the media. He has to make time for that, because that's the way that most people get their information about the sport. They don't have a chance to talk to him. They don't have a chance to see how he lives and to find out the whole thing behind that. He talks to the media people. And if you're ignoring the media people, eventually the media people will ignore you. And that's just not a good thing. We've had people on this program recently. Now, Travis Quapple, for example, who's also a past NASCAR champion in the truck series. Quapple has not been interviewed in a long time by television people, not for an extended interview, of course. And you could tell that from his interview on this program. And we're very, very happy that he came on. But he's a person that the media seems to have forgotten about. And I think that if Kurt Busch, and Kyle Busch to a lesser extent, Kyle Busch is getting better about that, of course. But if Kurt Busch doesn't remember that by talking to the media, you are talking to a large number of fans, then eventually the media will forget to talk to him. And that's really not a good thing. Now, moving on to the NHRA, which we alluded to a moment ago, Brittany Forrest has had a great season this year. She won the NHRA Gay Nationals, which I talked about briefly a few moments ago. She also won this past weekend at the Four Wide Nationals in Charlotte. The Four Wide Nationals is one of the showcase events of the National Hot Rod Association, simply because they do have the four cars that travel down the track at once for every race. That is pretty awesome if you look at it. The on the track there is just wow. And that would definitely be the sort of track that I'd want to go to at least once. Now, I did have the opportunity about 2 years ago now to travel to the Charlotte Motor Speedway as part of a media junket, which I did discuss in this program. It was a media junket for Hendrick Motorsports, and I got to go around the Charlotte Motor Speedway in one of the Richard Petty driving experience cars, and that was pretty cool. But we also got to see briefly the NHRA track as we zoomed by it, because they're all located right there, the NHRA track, the dirt track, and the traditional Charlotte Motor Speedway. So that would be a pretty cool thing to do. I know that North Carolina currently has some issues with the so-called bathroom law, and NASCAR is going to have to make a stand on that one way or the other. The statement that Brian France made regarding that can be interpreted several different ways, which is why both pro and anti-bathroom regulation people have used that in their articles. And you should take a look at that if you can find them. They're zooming around Facebook and the other aspects of the interwebs all over the place. But I think that Brian France is not a good politician, but he's trying to steal some of the political stuff. So he speaks, but he's not really saying anything. And I think he's good at that. But getting back to the National Hot Rod Association again. There was also news a few weeks ago that Bob Vandegrift had a previously unannounced retirement from the sport, shutting down Bob Vandegrift Racing. Now, that wasn't very good for Leah Pritchett, who was a past guest on this program, who was left without a ride for the NHRA season. Fortunately, she has an awesome sponsor in FireAid and was able to find another team, Lagana Family Racing. She was the number one qualifier this past weekend at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, the Charlotte Drag Strip I think it's called Z-Max Raceway there. And so she was the number one qualifier there for the Four Wide Nationals, and she did pretty well. Hopefully she continues with Lagana Family Racing. That is quite an interesting story there. I know there's a lot more to it than what's actually been said in the media. You can research it on your own. I've researched it a little bit. Apparently Bob Vandegrift decided to retire last season. He thought about it the beginning of last season. But his sponsor just sort of encouraged him on. prior to the race at Gainesville, the Gator Nationals, one of his sponsors actually died. A man who was in his early 40s, owned an oil company, major sponsor, and he passed away. And that I think that was a major part of the fact that Bob Vandergriff ended his racing operation. As I said, fortunately, Pritchard has found a new ride there with Lugana Family Racing, and hopefully she continues with that. The other racer who was there, Conley, has not found a ride with them, but he is racing one of the former Jegs cars, the former Jegs Pro Stock cars. So hopefully he does pretty well in there. I don't know the exact class. I know that there are a lot of Pro Stock cars that run, I believe, in Pro Mod now. So we'd also like to talk a little bit about IndyCar. This past weekend at the Barber Motorsports Park, Simon Pagenaud won. That's his second win in a row. With roughly 10 laps to go, Simon Pagenaud had an on-track altercation with Graham Rahal. Rahal was leading the race for a little while, and then he fell back. But he had a pass on Pagenaud. He was about halfway past him. You can see it on the replay if you didn't watch it on the race. I'm sure IndyCar.com currently has it. I know you can find it on YouTube. It was sort of a questionable pass, but the pass nonetheless, and the stewards ruled it a good pass. But then a few laps later, Graham Rahal bumped into the back, I believe it was of Jack Hawksworth, and totally destroyed his front wing. It was still hanging on, but it wasn't providing any downforce or anything. So he fell back to second with Simon Pagenaud ahead of him. He did finish in second place because he was basically leaning on the push-to-pass button for the whole last portion of the event. Now, we've had brief discussions on this program in the past about the push-to-pass button. Personally, I don't think it's the best creation that's ever been invented by IndyCar, but it serves its purpose, and it's kind of neat. Actually, I think the FIA with the Formula One passing zones where they actually change the wing configuration and all that, I think that's actually a better idea than the extra boost you get with the push to pass button. But they're all just a different entertainment device. And as we've stated on this program before, and as we discussed a few minutes ago, in fact, the racing definitely has some issues filling up the grandstands. IndyCar, not quite as much. NHRA, definitely, but not quite as much as they used to. NASCAR, a whole lot, especially in certain venues such as Bristol. So they're trying the best they can to get new people involved in the sport. As we talked about in depth a few weeks ago, there's a lot to be said about traveling to a NASCAR event or an NHRA event or any racing grand. Heck, I thought to a Freighter Raceway or whatever your local racetrack is. This past weekend, they had the racing there at PBIR, the Super Chevy Show, and that was kind of cool, too. We didn't actually get to travel out to that event this year, but we have been to a ton of events up there at the Palm Beach International Raceway, and supposedly it was a really good race, and I think that the idea is to travel out to your local racetrack. Support the local racetrack, see what the event is, see what the... enjoy the experience, take in the smells, enjoy the food, get to meet the drivers. It's pretty awesome stuff. And as soon as you do it one time, a lot of the times you'll be hooked on it. And it'll be a lifelong thing. It'll be kind of cool. So it's a great way to spend your time. And we're very happy you've decided to spend your time with us this evening for the past 35 minutes or so. Next week, we've got a big show ahead. So be sure to turn in next week. We'll hopefully get back to the two guests per show format for at least the foreseeable future. So we can extend the program out to an hour again, possibly even an hour and a half in the next few weeks. So we're hoping, keeping our fingers crossed, knocked on wood and all that stuff there. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar, or simply by going to facebook.com/SD Thursday Night Thunder. Also invite you to read articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. This week, we've written several articles about the NHRA 4-Wide Nationals, as well as previewed the upcoming event at Monster Raceway Laguna Seca. We've also featured several interviews with the top NHRA drivers and owners, as well as offered up some NHRA news that seems good for the sport. Check it out in the racing news section of SpeedwayDigest.com. In addition, if you're a fan of South Florida, and who isn't, be sure to check out the latest news and information about our slice of paradise at Palm Beach Happening, which can be found by visiting palmbeach.happeningmag.com. We've published a few more of our celebrity chef features, as well as some new restaurant reviews. We've also highlighted a few special events around town, as well as provided some information about Sunfest, which is the largest musical event held in the state of Florida, going on right now. Be sure to visit us on Twitter at Palm Beach Happening, which is PB Happening, on the website at palmbeach.happeningmag.com, Instagram, which is PB Happening, and more, and find out what's happening in the Palm Beaches. We thank you very much for listening and look forward to seeing you again next week in the Thunderdome, when we will hopefully be talking NASCAR with driver Ben Candy and discussing the Mazda MX-5 Cup with MRT24 winner Glenn McGee, as well as once again delving into the world of modern motorsports with guests representing the top series in the nation and beyond. Thank you very much for listening, and have a great week.